I'm going to introduce Carla Armenti to discuss the evaluation of occupational and industry in the New Hampshire State Cancer Registry.
Thank you. You guys are all diehards for staying here until the end of the day on Wednesday, right? I don't know, I've been here since Saturday and I'm ready to go home. Just as a little background information, I head our health statistics and data management section for the state of New Hampshire in the Division of Public Health Services. And among other, well, besides running the New Hampshire State Cancer Registry, we also manage our environmental public health tracking program for the state. We hold the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System survey. What else do we do? And we also we have access to all the hospital data and vital records for the state. So we are really, you know, where people come for data requests and try to get information about burden of disease in the state. And my background is occupational health and environmental health, and I will throw out a disclaimer right now that I'm not an epidemiologist, so I may not be able to answer all of your questions if you have really specific ones later. But two of our very brilliant epidemiologists worked on this project for us because of my interest in occupational health. We had some carry-forward money from our CDC grant. We are established in the state to run the registry and had a boatload of money that if you don't spend it, you lose it. So we introduced this project. We were able to do something in New Hampshire. So, of course, I have to throw that up there. So the Cancer Registries Amendment Act of 1992 was enacted to support the establishment and operation of population-based statewide cancer registries. This law specifically states that cancer registries will collect information on the industrial or occupational history of the individuals with cancer to the extent such information is available from the medical record. We all know about limitations in data collection, and medical records are only as good as the data recorded. Occupation is frequently unknown. Industry is not collected. We're really dealing with poor quality data and information. The National Program of Cancer Registries, which is part of CDC, and that's where we get our funding, requires the collection of industry and occupation, but has never really enforced this because of the training and coding issues the registries face. It's just very difficult to, you know, try to promote this across the board. So we decided that we would, during a regular audit process that we have to do for NPCR anyway, do reabstracting of the medical records, of the records that we were auditing, to evaluate the quality and completeness of our New Hampshire registry's recording of industry and occupation. There was also a study in Massachusetts similar to what we've done. I mean, we learned a lot from what they did that informs the field in this way as well. So for diagnosis year 2005, the Cancer Registry received over 6,700 analytic reports from 26 New Hampshire hospitals. That's total. We have 26 hospitals and one VA hospital. Approximately 85% of these cases lacked industry and occupation. That's huge. Industry and occupation are required reportable text data items, so we did have some text there. And as I said, as part of our regular annual audit, we performed a reabstraction audit for random selection of cancer case records to evaluate current data quality and estimate the potential for identifying more accurate industry and occupation. We reviewed records for cancer patients during this time. We actually were able to bring in an expert NIOSH coder. I mean, they'll actually do coding for you for free if you can get them there. You can also send them data and they'll code it. It was an incredible thing that we were able to do. But this person coded industry and occupation data according to the 2000 Bureau of Census, which merges both NAICS and SOC. We included analysis of the frequency of records with no industry and occupation in our evaluation as well. So moving on to some of the methods, we randomly selected 20 cases diagnosed during this year, 2005, for every cancer registrar in a registry hospital. So we only have 14 hospitals with a formal registrar. and we have 11 non-registry hospitals. So we took two cases from each of the five major sites: female breast, prostate, lung, colon, and hematopoietic. Did I say that right? And 10 cases from other sites. And we were able to get a total of 708 cases that were eligible for medical record review, and our final sample was 474 cases. So here's just a table of that, of our final sample, and the different cancer sites. The sample was reasonably representative of the New Hampshire population. We are 98% white. New Hampshire incident cancer population is also 98%. 50% male, mean age was 65. Sample cases included a small excess of bladder cancer and hematopoietic, again, cancers, and lower number of prostate, breast, and lung cancers. So here's just a table of that represented. So the industry and occupation data were collected during our routine data quality audit. External auditors, well, because NPCR requires or sends external auditors to do this, but we only gave, we're only formatting our data in Excel spreadsheets, so they did not have access to the original reported industry and occupation data. The IO history was collected by reviewing all the available documentation in the patient medical records and then recording all the industry and occupation stated from the initial to the last hospital encounter provided in the medical record. The following information was collected. The items with the asterisk were not used in the analysis. I mean, we just didn't really, we weren't able to collect enough data for that to be meaningful. So as I said, we had a NIOSH expert come in and assign the industry and occupation codes using the census system. And she actually assigned the codes to each industry and occupation originally reported by the hospital, which was already in our data set, and also to the industry and occupation text collected during the audit. She did categorize it for us into the 20 major sectors and the 23 major occupational groups, but again, our numbers were so small that we couldn't see anything meaningful in it. If we were able to do like thousands and thousands of records, maybe. So the codes from both the original and the reabstracted data were then categorized according to the availability of industry and occupation in, information. So we categorized it as both industry and occupation available, industry or occupation, both coded to an unpaid workforce. I don't know if any of you deal with any of these data sets, but you end up seeing a lot of retired, and it's really difficult to try to get this information associated with those occupations. And we also looked at industry and occupation unknown. So in addition to the original and reabstracted IO codes, we derived a third category, best industry and occupation, which took the best IO data from either the original or the reabstracted categories. Then we compared the availability of industry and occupation in the original data with data collected from the reabstraction. And here's a table representing that. 23% of the records abstracted by reporting facilities included some information on industry and or occupation. The remaining 77% of the cases had missing or unknown industry and occupation information. The reabstraction audit generated some IO information for 88% of the records, with only 12% coded to unknown industry and occupation. Did I just go backwards? Okay. Sorry. Although the best category could be considered the gold standard, information from a single abstraction is a more reasonable expectation, so we also calculated the difference between the original and the reabstracted data. The source within the medical record from which the industry and occupation was found was also categorized into 9 categories. So this is where they found the information. And I think it's important to note that a lot of it was just right there on the face sheet or the history and physical sheet. So it wasn't all that hard to find. And just to mention that New Hampshire requires rapid reporting from our registrars and hospitals. It's required 45 days from the date of diagnosis, and the completed case is required 180 days from the date of diagnosis. So this means really that the registrar should have all this information available at least 6 months from the diagnosis date. So we classified the source date according to the period of time when the diagnosis was made, and these are the different categories. We also classified our hospitals according to their annual caseload, which is the total caseload, not just the cancer patients, and from small, medium to large. We also classified them according to whether or not they have a cancer program that's approved by the College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer, which is a more formal body with stricter standards and everything. So I'll just, you know, throw up some figures here, a little easier to understand or read. The availability of the industry and occupation information in cases reported by hospitals, these were re-abstracted during the audit and then both combined. The industry and occupation information obtained on reabstraction for cases where industry and occupation was originally reported as unknown or missing. So what we found really was that, through reabstraction, we found the same industry and occupation information for 25% of the cases, and of the 366 cases that had been reported with unknown or missing information, 10% still had missing or unknown INO information even after reabstraction. Of the remaining 321, we found complete industry and occupation for 196, and found either industry or occupation for 46. And 2% of the records included valid information on an industry or occupation that's not in the paid workforce. So this is very clear as to how well really we did. If you look at the original compared with the reabstracted and the base, and interestingly, in all three groups, the industry and occupation information was most likely to be found for those aged 50 to 59. The percent of cases with industry and occupation information is originally reported by hospitals, reabstraction, and the best of both by major primary cancer sites. You see the same trend. And if you look at the characteristics of the hospitals, cases that were found to have complete industry and occupation information available came from registry hospitals with fewer than 400 annual caseload and from hospitals with the COC-approved cancer program. The characteristics of source, this is when we categorized this as source. Documents in the medical record that were more likely to provide industry and occupation information included face or admission sheets, physician-dictated reports, which include the history and physicals and the consults, and 16% from admission notes completed by nurses or patients upon intake. And this is just a chart of these characteristics laid out. Of the 429 cases that had industry and occupation information, only 8% were recorded after they would have been reported, greater than the 6 months from diagnosis. So you could see some of the outcomes right there. In this study, we demonstrated the potential to improve data collection for industry and occupation among cancer patients reported to the New Hampshire State Cancer Registry. And although these data fields are required components of a cancer report, existing registry data included both industry and occupation for only 15% of the original data records compared to 54% of the reabstracted records. So we really weren't getting this information. Records that contain partial industry and occupation data comprised 8% of the cancer cases in the original data set and 34% in the reabstracted records. And I think just what's really telling is this last number, that through this careful reabstraction process, we improved the proportion with no industry or occupation data from 77% to 12%. During reabstraction, we found that the industry and occupation data were most commonly identified from the admission face sheet or from the clinician's notes. Combining data from the original cancer case report and the study reabstraction audit gave significant additional improvements in our data quality. So it's feasible to achieve substantial improvements in industry and occupation data quality, you know, with specific attention to face sheets and clinicians' notes. Again, not having to dive really deeply down into the medical records. And we plan to share the results of this study with our registrars and our hospitals at our annual meeting this spring. You know, we only have 26 hospitals, so it's really easy to get everybody in one room, and they really do come to these meetings, which is really nice. So we'll do a little bit of training around this and just talk about how important it is to document this information in the records. Further analysis of the data collected from our registry could be helpful in identifying occupational risk factors for cancer in New Hampshire. And I was just telling my colleagues from Liberty Mutual there that we're also participating in a project with NIOSH, who is working on creating a knowledge database, an automated coding system for occupation and industry. And they were looking for large amounts of data, large number of records to help them do this. So we just gave them a year of our death data, over 10,000 records to help them create this system, and hope to be sending them 4 more years so that we'll have 5 years to look at. But this coding system might help in cases of, you know, trying to record and identify occupation and industry and other data sets like the cancer registry. And that's it. Any questions? Or thank you. Can you just say that a little bit louder? Really? I didn't think of that. Thank you very much. Sure, thank you. This was a kind of a little mini pilot project that we did, so those are great. That's a great idea to kind of move into phase 2. Oh, you mean in the grand scheme of cancer registries and recording this information? I think we're not any different from any of the other registries. I know California is doing some research in automating coding systems, you know, in their cancer registry, and have gone way further than we have. That would be something to look into, and we've learned a little bit from them. Would love to collaborate with them. But I think for the most part, you know, each state is different, has different, you know, structures as far as hospital registrars. And I actually was surprised at how much we could find and how easy it was to find. But it's very labor intensive, you know. I mean, and a lot of other states, bigger states, won't have an opportunity to do this. You know, it's almost hand by hand. But tacking it onto your audit, you know, process is a good way to do it. And we thought maybe we'd do it, you know, every year and just see if we can see some differences after we've done some training. I don't think it's unusual, though, this problem. The longest. Yeah. The abstractors, well, they tried to get that information if it was documented, but I believe the question is, what is the longest held? You know, what is your longest held occupation, which is pretty typical what you'll find. I mean, there may be something that says what their current occupation is in the records, but they're supposed to ask also, what's your longest held occupation? Oh, I don't know. Did I give a date there? It was the census. Okay. Right. But yeah, well, it was census data, which includes the NAICS and the SOC. Right. Yeah, I'm not sure actually what she, I mean, it says the 2000 Bureau of Census, which merges the NAICS and the SOC, so I'm not sure what else she used. Yeah. So 2000, you're saying 2002 has, okay. Yeah, this was done, let me think, probably in the spring. Yeah, this was done like kind of last January, so I don't know. Kate, did you have a question
too? Yeah, I was just going to follow up on what Lisa said, that it's pretty typical for state-based cancer registries to only be capturing 10% of industry and occupation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's just my, you know, feeling, just in doing a little bit of background search and talking to others. I also presented this at the CSTE conference, the Council for State and Territorial Epidemiologists, and it was interesting. You know, those are the surveillance people. Those are the occupational health surveillance people. We don't have a formal occupational health surveillance program in New Hampshire, but with my background in occupational health, I'm just trying to sneak it in wherever I can and collaborate with others so that we can do little studies like this and just kind of learn what we've got in New Hampshire. Okay, thank you.